First Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Probably the simplest story that we've ever heard. We've heard from Sunday school, from the time we was a kid, little kid, even if we wasn't raised in church, we've heard the story of David and Goliath. But I'm going to give you a different thought about it this morning. Maybe look at something if we can. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to start reading at verse 40. Now, we know this is going to be about David and Goliath, so I don't have to read the entire chapter, all right? Just going to read some down about verse 52, all right? Start at verse 40. It says, "And he took his staff in his hand, chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even inscribed, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Philistine came, drew near unto David, the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and a fair countenance. The Philistine said unto David, My dog, that thou comest to me with staves, and the Philistine cursed David by his God. The Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. And I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in it. All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, and took bent a stone, and slang it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and the stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And the Philistines saw their captain dead, they fled. Men of Israel and of Judah rose, shouted, and slew the Philistines, till thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Jerahmeel, even into Gath, and to Ekron." We'll stop right there. Let's pray. Lord, I come this morning. Lord, I understand full well that I'm nothing. Lord, your everything. There's nobody like you. You're the greatest, the highest. Lord, you're holy, and oh, you're so faithful. And I appreciate how faithful you are to be with everybody. But I never know you to fail. I never know you to do anything wrong. You do everything great and wonderful. But you're just the best there is. There's nobody like you. Now, Lord, I know I'm guilty. Lord, if you'd cleanse me this morning once again, remove anything in my mind or heart that be anything like a shadow to me, Lord, I need it out of the way. Lord, if you touch me fresh just now, I might preach to you. Now, Lord, I want to help people this morning, but I want to preach to you this morning. May you touch them. May you speak to me. Lord, I sure do appreciate what you've given me this week. You've already made your trip worthwhile long before this morning's ever come. But I appreciate it. Now, Lord, help us, I pray. Fill me up as you see fit. Give me power, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We've heard this story all of our life about how David slew Goliath. And it was a miraculous thing, we know that a little boy like David would go up to Goliath and take a sling and take a rock and kill Goliath. It was a mighty thing. And we preached about how wonderful David was, a young fella. I mean, we preached to these meetings and how a little man can do great things. The power of God, and it was all of God. I believe with all my heart that any victory we have comes from God. It don't come from us. It comes from the Lord. I understand that. And I know that this is not a normal thing. I understand that as well. understand that it was not a normal thing that somebody like David, a shepherd boy, would kill a giant like Goliath. Now, we've preached about it and learned about it and taught about it so long that I think sometimes we forget what all really went on. Now, I'm going to preach this backwards. I'm going to preach about David. I'm going to preach about why Goliath lost the battle. Why Goliath lost the battle. For it tells us something. Now, I understand the main purpose of this is to see the hand of God in David. I know that. That's the primary meaning. We all right with that? But yet, there's a secondary meaning here I believe we can apply to us if we'll just do it. See, we're living in a time today that we seem to be more defeated than having victory. And we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. The Bible says that He causes us to triumph always. Does He not? What it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, thanks be to God, we've given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us in Romans that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. That's what it says. And then it says over in 1 John chapter 5 that this is the victory that we're overcomers. Even the victory which is our faith. And it's all because of Christ. We're living in a day that we've forgotten that we belong to God. The church is in a time now that we're not the powerhouse we used to be. And it's not because that the Bible has changed. It's not because God has changed. It's because we have forgotten that we already have the victory. I'm not defeated this morning. I am Jesus Christ. And it's still true that greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And I am sick myself of taking a back seat to the devil and taking the world and letting it beat me down and be discouraged. I suffer from depression. I suffer from discouragement. I've been set, as I've told many before, and practiced with the pistols, snapping them to where I wouldn't flinch. I'm really jumpy. And I've practiced to see if I could blow my brains out. Been discouraged, pastoring for 30 years. I've been there. I know what it's like. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of fretting and crying instead of trusting God. He's bigger than we are this morning. He's bigger than our problems. He is the greatest. Ain't nobody like my Savior this morning. Ain't nobody like Jesus. He don't never do no wrong. I'm here to tell you that. But we sometimes suffer defeat. Can I tell you that Goliath should have never lost? Goliath should have never lost the battle. He was 9'9" tall. You think about how big Goliath was. I don't care how big David was, he wasn't as big as Goliath. And I don't know where what y'all do. I'm from up home, up West Virginia, and when you're big, you can pretty well do what you want to do. Now, I was always not very tall, but I was always built for the South, they say. I was not real smart, just built for tote and carry, all right? And pretty well done what I wanted to do. Used to box, used to fight, and I loved to fight. Maybe my little old God used to go to the bar, play guitar in the bar, and I wanted to see who was wearing my guitar home. You know, I didn't quite need to be rough, you know. But when you come up to a big fella, I had enough sense you might want to buy coffee with him. Can't be done. Goliath has never lost. 9'9" tall. His armor weighed 157 pounds. The head of his spear weighed 17 pounds. Alright? I mean, he'd have a flagpole with his staff. Right? Can you imagine a man 9'9", his head would be as big as a 5-gallon bucket. Would it not? Think about that. I mean, proportional. I mean, we're talking. David Nick got 9-foot ceilings in his house. I was looking at that this morning. And I looked at his trim and the way he does his trim. And I said, man, that's tall. I mean, I'd look at something like that. Joe Chancy gets on his knees to hug me. He's so tall. Well, Joe Chancy had to get on a stepladder to get Goliath in the tent. All right? His shield was so big, it took one man just to carry his shield. And a little boy, a ruddy fella, kills Goliath. That should never happen. It should never happen to the church to ever be defeated. The Bible says, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We shouldn't ever have to wonder what's going to happen in the church. And we should never be in the state that the church goes away. It ought to be built up. And we got churches closing down everywhere. And we got preachers quitting everywhere. And church members quitting. And deacons quit deacon. And teachers quit teaching. And everything is quitting. But we ought to have the victory this morning. But Goliath lost. The church seems like it's losing. It's losing because we're losing. We're letting the battle be taken from us. There are four things here this morning, right quick, if I can get to you real quick. I believe it'll help us and we can see why Goliath lost the battle. The first thing is he was a Philistine and he had an unbelieving heart. He had an unbelieving heart. It says here that when he come up to David that he cursed him by his God. David said he disdained him. He didn't believe in God. Can I tell you, we've got to the point we don't believe anymore. Our faith, we don't believe God can do it. You preached last night, do it again, Brother Joe, but do we really believe He'll do it again? Do we really believe we can have the power again? Do we really believe that we can see God move like He's moved before? Where be all the miracles the Bible asks? Does the Bible still not say, now I'm not Pentecostal by no means, but the Bible does say greater things than these guys you do. That's what Jesus said. But we're not seem to be doing the greater things anymore because we quit believing God. I'm one that believes in miracles anymore. Are you hearing me? I used to think I had faith. I used to think I believed God. I used to think I seen God, hand of God move. But the last year, the last 10 months, I understand that God's a lot bigger than the things that we see. He's a lot bigger than the things we go through. I still got a God that's able to raise up the dead. I still got a God that's able to heal the sick this morning. I still got a God, He still saves a sinner like me. He's still able. Let me tell you how much I believe in God. My little boy, my baby boy, 26 years old, was in arrest April the 30th last year. And he got traumatic brain injury. And we went down there to the hospital. They flew him down there to the hospital. And they weren't going to make it, they said. They couldn't see him. Me and my wife and my daughter-in-law was down there. We got two little precious babies. We were down there waiting. We waited 2 hours and we wasn't allowed in to see him. We didn't, nobody told us if he was alive, if he was dead. Nobody told us nothing other than a man that picked him up in the ambulance. We knew him well. He said he was breathing, Mark, when we put him in the helicopter. That's all we knew. Didn't know if he was alive or not. And me and Cheryl asked. And Lindsay, my daughter-in-law, stood there. And my wife said, are we going to believe God? Are we going to trust Him or not? I said, yeah, we're going to trust Him. They let us go in. Here he is on the ventilator. All the tubes in him. David was down there. Mark Benny was down there. Will you listen to me now? They said he's going to die. He laid there. They've done everything they could do. They took us in the little room in a few days. And they said, we've done all we can do. You need to unhook him. Our little daughter-in-law. God love her heart. Ain't nobody like her, I know. We went in there back in the trauma room. She laid over his head. And the tears dripped off of her face and dried out of his face. And Cheryl joined hands there at the bottom of the bed. And she said, God, You promised me. You promised me that he was going to be okay when we started down here. Now you're going to have to do something. Well, You done promised. Now what are You going to do? Are you listening to me? There wasn't no movement. There wasn't nothing going on. And my heart had been broke. The more I knew that somewhere God was going to have to do something. The next morning, the nurse ran out of the room with swollen. Said, He moved. He can't move. He broke up too much. He moved the arm. He moved the shoulder. He lifted a hand up. He's still in bad shape. But he prayed the other morning. They said he got his breakfast out. And he said, looked at the boy, stayed up there and helped his farm. Said, pray, Jared. And he said, you pray yourself. It's your breakfast.
And Philip bowed his head and said, Jesus, here they say, I sure do love you. Oh, I really love you. And then he mumbled a few things and said, in Jesus' name, amen. He's still in a wheelchair. He still can't do nothing for himself. He can feed himself a little bit. Can't walk yet. But he'll worship with you. He'll pray with you. Are you listening to me? You say, how is that believing? I believe God. You got an unbelieving heart. You're not going to see the big things of God anymore. He's still the same God He's always been. He's still able to do everything He said He would do. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. He said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we should never lose. I'm on the winning side. I'm not a defeated foe. Hey, I'm saved, going to heaven. I've already won the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The victory ain't in the preacher. The victory ain't in the church. But the victory is in Jesus this morning. And I got Him. And the church don't have to be defeated. Goliath lost the battle because he's got an unbelieving heart. You got an unbelieving heart this morning, you're going to have your head hung down. I'm not talking about lifting up in pride. Oh, if I can lift up and say, yes, God, yes, you're still able. I know what He can do. It's not just with my boy. I've watched Him. I've watched Him do many things. And I'm here to tell you, I've found Him to be faithful in every way. I've found Him to be all that He said He would be. But I've got to have a believing heart. Do you have a believing heart? Well, you say, I'm saved. God, do you believe it? Do you believe it? You believe it? I believe it. I believe it. Not only did he have an unbelieving heart. Listen carefully now. The mill called Goliath to lose. He had an unprotected mind. The rock from him came. When David flung a sling, he flung it. He flung it. He flung that rock. The only place he could go was in his forehead. Huh? He lost because he had an unprotected mind. You know why we'll lose? You know why we get an unbelieving heart? Because we get an unprotected mind. And our mind messes it up. I come down here to listen. I didn't come down here to preach. Now, I'm not one to be intimidated. Okay? I've been told I intimidate others, but I'm not going to go wrong. I want to give you a corner and listen and let you join me. This is my mind. If I run around with David, David's always the basket place in my own school. That's why we get along with the body. He'll come up home and stay 6 weeks out of the year. What is it? Sometimes he cried. He's just in dark dungeon, depressed, discouraged. You gonna drive, I'm gonna jump off a bridge. No, you drive, I wanna jump. I mean, that's how me and David run down here. You know where it comes from? Our mind. It comes from our mind. But it's not just the depression thing. Our mind will be taken off the things that ought to be on. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. But the Bible says, I don't have to pray for the mind of Christ. When He born me anew, I have the mind of Christ. He's in me. He then says, let this mind be in you. Let it. Permit it to work in you. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. But we don't protect our mind. Our mind wanders. And we see things and think things. The Bible says that a foolish thought is sinning. But the Bible says, you ever think foolish things? We need to protect our mind. We need a believing heart. Goliath had an unbelieving heart. We need to have a protected mind. You need to guard your mind. Fellers, when y'all's out on the road, I don't ever go nowhere. It's rare that I go anywhere. I stay close to home. Pastoring and trying to do things in the house. Been a friend in that county over 30 years now. Pastoring in the same county. And I don't have time to go Some of y'all go a lot.
But watch your mind.
You'll be defeated. Better guard your mind. Better guard your mind when you go in a hotel room. Better guard your mind when you go out to play. Better guard your mind when you're in a counseling room. Better guard your mind when you're praying. Better guard your mind. Hey, there's sometimes I'll pray, and I think I'm really getting down praying, and the things that go through my mind, I wonder if I'm just going to get saved while I'm praying.
I don't know if y'all pray like that or not. There'll be things I saw that I didn't remember seeing that come through my mind when I'm praying. There'll be things I heard that I didn't realize I heard until I'm on my knees trying to pray. There'll be things that I saw and I don't remember seeing. Right when I try to read my Bible, that's when I see it again. And it's in my mind. The devil can't bother my soul, but he can throw a mess in my head. If you don't have a protective mind, you'll be defeated. You need to have a believing heart and a protected mind. Goliath had an unbelieving heart and an unprotected mind. Then he had something else. He had an unused sword. When David hit him with the rock, David pulled the sword out of David's sheath, or out of Goliath's sheath. Now, Goliath met David down there to fight. Don't you think he'd have pulled his sword if he was going to fight? If I was going to do a fight, I wouldn't go empty-handed. But it was getting still in his back. Tell you what we'll do with Christians. We'll preach it. We won't do it. I'll tell you what we've been spending the last 10 years, or 15 years. We've been preaching about it. We've been trying to defend it. You don't have to defend God. God's God. You don't have to say, well, I believe he's God. Well, it don't matter whether you believe he's God or not. He's still God. And this is God's word. If you don't believe it, that's okay. It's still God's word. I don't have to defend it. I'm not going to spend my time preaching about the Bible. I need to be preaching the Bible. The reason our church is just being defeated, we're preaching about it all the time. Brother Taylor said yesterday morning a great thing. I don't know how many heard it. He said we spend too much time in duty and not the doctrine of the book. And if we know Jesus, everything else is going to fall in place. Goliath had an unused sword. Is our sword unused this morning? The answer to my problems is in this book. The direction for my life is in this book. For the power is in my church house. It's not in the preacher, but it's in this book. It's an unused sword. We'll use it sometimes to cut somebody up. We'll have our certain special places. We'll run to stick somebody. Huh? That's not useful. Like it's designed to use. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against God. This book is for people to see. Will it not? Your sword used is a thing of scabbard. Now, I'm not, if you do this, I'm not saying it's a person. But really, we taste it up and bring it together. Zip it up, we'll begin to get finished. Well, I got other stuff that I want to tell you. We are going rather take one verse of the day and chew on it and get all the chewings out of it than to read all of it one morning and Monday night. An unused sword. An unbelieving heart is why it is defeated. An unprotected mind is why it is defeated. An unused sword is why it is defeated. And I'll give you another second off to it. About the head. Underestimated it. You know why he didn't pull his sword? He didn't think he needed it. You know why he didn't protect his head? He didn't think he needed it. You know why he didn't trust David's God? He didn't think he needed him. He wasn't worried about David or none of the children of Israel. He didn't think he needed any of them. And David was underestimated. Years ago, I told you I used to fight. We was taught to box. I was taught to fight at home. And then we used to have a ring built where I was raised up at. And had a boxing ring built. The bus drivers would come down after school and they'd referee the fights. We had the 16-ounce gloves. And we'd go 3-minute rounds and they'd ring the bell and they'd do all that. But then we was allowed to fight in school. We was allowed to fight in phys ed. We had the boxing gloves. They measure off and we'd fight. And the bad thing about fighting at home, me and one other boy was only heavyweight. So we had to fight all the time. One time he'd win, next time I'd win. We'd back and forth. We'd really trade off. But I was really prejudiced growing up about different color people. To where I was so big a smart aleck, it was ridiculous. Well, Dave was a little color feller, about like this. And I didn't call them by name. I had a name I called them, but it wasn't their name. And my normal smart aleck self, I smarted off. And he done the same. And I reared back and I said, this won't take long. And I just reared back and just hit him as hard as I could hit him. He'd dream. All he done was grin. And then he hit me, and I slid. And I bled. And I'd get up, and I'd hit him, and he'd grin. He hit me, and I'd slide on my bottom, and I'd bleed. And after I hit him a couple of times, that was all. He just kept hitting me over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I bled all over the place. And I never got over that. I said, he should not have done that. He was a head shorter than me. I'd hit people before and they would be one punch and they would be completely out. I hit him and he smiled. That shouldn't happen. And what I done, I underestimated. See, what I didn't know is he boxed too. He was from... They combined schools, and he was from the other school. Let me tell you, he hit me, and I never seen him. All I was doing was getting up. We okay? I'd set myself, and then I'd get up. I didn't know how it was happening. You ever find yourself getting up and not knowing how it happened? You ever find yourself laying down and not know how it happened, and it should not have happened? Ever find yourself the guts knocked out of you and the wind knocked out of you and you say, wait a minute, how did this take place? Because we underestimate the enemy. He still is still in a book that be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I can't beat him. But boy, who's in me can. See, Goliath lost because he didn't have the Lord. Goliath lost because the Lord wasn't real in his heart. Can I tell you, if we suffer defeat this morning, it's because he's not real in our heart. So
Why did Goliath lose the battle? Well, he had an unbelieving heart. He had an unprotected mind. He had an unused sword. He had an underestimated enemy. Think about it.